Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
What you watch depends on what kind of mood you're in. Sometimes you're craving comedies like Friends or South Park, and sometimes you're more into dramas like HBO's Succession and House of the Dragon. There's also cooking shows like Chopped and Beat Bobby Flay, and even movies like The Lord of the Rings and Shazam! Fury of the Gods. Well, Max is the streaming destination that has the best of entertainment for whatever mood you're in anytime. And plans start at as little as $9.99 a month. Max, the one to watch. Subscription required. Visit max.com.
Good morning to you. It's Mo. It's Monday. Ah. I didn't mean to sound like I was constipated. That's actually not the case. But it dawned on me that that's maybe the noise that people make. And on that note, as I say, good morning. It's a Monday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We can only say these things after hours. This is one of the reasons why I continue to work in what I consider to be a prime time slot, but what other people consider to be off the beaten path. It's because, well, no one listens to our show for management, so we can get away with pretty much anything we want. I hope you had a great weekend. It was a smorgasbord for me. Crappy sleep. Speaking of constipated, just really bad sleep, like bad. It's my own fault because I know if I stay up too late on Friday and Saturday nights, meaning I push through that stretch where I really get tired, I generally tend to get sleepy around 10:30. I know it sounds old. I sound old because I stay overnight for a living. And then on Fridays, I'm ready to go to bed by 10 o'clock in the evening, right? But the thing is, if I push through that, I get a second wind, duh, because I generally really get busy in the work cycle around 11:30 midnight Eastern time. And so by pushing through that sleepiness, the body clock kicks in. Then I'm awake, 1:30, still awake, 2 o'clock, still awake. Dang it, I did it again. I should just go to bed when I'm tired on Friday nights or do what Jay does, just he falls asleep on the couch. He knows it's going to happen. He doesn't care. He pretends like he's going to stay up and have a life on Fridays, but instead, within minutes of sitting down on the couch, he's out.
This Friday when that happened, it actually bothered me. Because I, you know, we've worked the whole week. I want to like watch a show on a Friday night or enjoy it. And there it is, 9:15. Then I lay
then
down.
Don't lay down on the couch.
But like, I want to get comfortable.
You know it's going to happen every single time. Jay protests this, but I swear to you, he wants to fall asleep on the couch every single Friday. This happens, or the majority.
Most.
We'll 98% of Fridays. So at least I try. I sit upright in my chair. I don't put my feet up. I am watching shows. But once I push through and it's 1:30, oh, it's bad. Because I read a little bit, I'll fall asleep between 1:30 and 2. Inevitably, Saturday morning, Sunday morning, awake at 4:30, 5 o'clock, 5:30. And by that time, the pets are stirring. And it's not their fault. I really do want to get mad at them as though it's their fault. But it's not their fault. They've been on this routine for as long as I've been here at CBS Sports Radio. This is their routine. They know the routine. They're just, now they don't need to be up an hour early, for heaven's sakes. But that's their routine. I'm the one that both nights stayed up too late, pushed through the sleepy wall, and then just screwed myself. It's my own fault. So naps are still my friend, and I will try to do better next weekend. But I did have a really nice Saturday morning once I, well, I was going to say sucked down some coffee, but really I mainlined the coffee. Once I had some coffee in my system, I hopped in my car and I drove down a ways down the Jersey Shore. Nope, not like the TV show. I drove down the Jersey coast. Let's do that instead. And I have an 89-year-old friend. Well, she's close. She's not quite 89. She's about to be 89. She's a former neighbor who I connected with during the pandemic. Now, she didn't have a car. It had been years since she'd had a car. But she walked everywhere during the pandemic just because she needed to get out of her house. A lot of people did that. I would see her in her bright purple coat almost every day. And it was really funny because Penny and I, we would get in the car and we'd drive to the park or we would drive to the local CVS or Walgreens to pick up a few things. And she'd be walking. And we'd run into her after we'd just gotten out of the car. She had walked there. So we became friends. And over the course of 20 and 21 and then even into 22, I would go hang out at her house at least once a week. She'd have cookies for me. We'd catch up. I kept asking her, what can I do for you? Because her sons all live out of town. I visit her pretty regularly, but they all live out of town. And so I'd ask her, can I pick up your groceries for you? Can I help you move something up or down the stairs? What do you need from me? Can I help you with your yard work? And she has gorgeous flowers, had gorgeous flowers. Well, she finally allowed me. She's British. And so for months, she wouldn't allow me to help her. She just kept saying, no, I'm fine. I'm paying people to do that. Anyway, she finally trusted me enough to allow me to help her out. So I would pick her fruit every week when I went to the grocery store. I would pick her fresh fruit. And she would get really excited. Fresh fruit and frozen meals. Weirdly enough, that was the combination that she wanted me to pick. And as we got into the summer of 22, her son that lives down the Jersey coast became more concerned about her doing another winter alone. She didn't want to spend another winter alone in a big house by herself. And so they started looking around for some senior living options closer to him. And boom, within 2 weeks, she was moving. Oh, we were so sad. Penny still, when we walk by her house, tries to go up on her steps. And because she would just, Margaret would open the door and Penny would walk right in. Make yourself at home, Pen. And so now Margaret is about a 90-minute drive away, about 100 miles away. And I told her once a quarter I will come visit her. And she introduces me. Well, she's introduced me to everyone in the place probably twice now. Introduces me to everyone, even these older people. I mean, she's older, but she's very active still. People who are sleeping in their wheelchairs, she insists on waking them up to introduce me. Margaret, you do not need to wake people up. Well, they don't need to be sleeping. Like, says you. So I actually think she might be a little bored because she's busy. She's very busy. She's very active, but she is one of the most active there. And I think it's a little challenging for her to find people to keep up with her. That's going to be me. If I end up in senior living, that's going to be me. She started a knitting club, right? She wants to go on adventures and field trips. And very rarely does the bus fill up with people who want to do the same. So I know she's a little antsy. So I go down on Saturday. We were going to take a walk. But first we had to visit her 99-year-old friend, her BFF there. They laugh and giggle like they're teenagers, which is really cute. Margaret and Trudy. And so we spent some time with her. And then we were going to go to a local park and walk because Margaret loves to walk. Well, she realized that the women's championship match at the French Open was airing on TV. So we actually went and we sat down and watched it because she really loves tennis. It's one of the things that she and I connected with in sports. So instead, we watched tennis. Then I took her to lunch. Brand new Panera Bread. She'd never been to Panera Bread before. It was quite the adventure. She would not let me pay. So Margaret's flashing the cash. She even gave a very nice tip, even though we ordered at the counter and picked up our own food. Anyway, she's really sweet. I had a great time. She sent me a text message telling me that I am a very special person, which was sweet. And also, she insisted we take selfies. She's almost 89 and insisted we take selfies. Right? I don't even like selfies. And my 89-year-old friend insisted we take selfies. So we have two really cute pictures. Now, that's on the heels of Bob's mom, who's also in her 80s, friending me on Snapchat, which I do not use either. He's come back to me and said, so what are you going to do about my mom and Snapchat? I said, I haven't decided yet.
No verdict yet?
No, I don't want to hurt her feelings. We've been texting. I send her photos. I don't want to open Snapchat just for Bob's mom. But what if she's sending me snaps and I'm not getting them and she thinks I'm ignoring her? So I'm trying to text her photos of flowers and things like that instead.
That should give the hint. Like, hey, like, let's exchange photos and stuff in here.
Not Snapchat. Yeah. You 81-year-old. So, yes, my weekend was full of communications with some very special people who are far hipper and cooler than I am. Speaking of that, my niece called me on Sunday for 2 hours. She had to tell me all about their family trip to Hawaii. So, yeah, I was busy. It was busy listening, busy weekend of talking, and, yeah, just getting away from sports and social, but keeping a weathered eye on what was happening Sunday, plus hoops and hockey. Sunday, though, Novak Djokovic, so the men's championship at the French Open. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Novak not only wins Grand Slam championship number 23, he breaks the tie with Rafael Nadal. And we know this is important to him. He wants to be the all-time winner, the all-time leader now, I guess, because he's still active. But he wants to be the man who holds the record. And should he get 24 this year or next year or before his career is over, he'll be tied with Margaret Court, who still does officially own the record all-time for men or women. Right now, Novak is tied with Serena. If he continues to play, and it could even happen this year, if he continues to play at the high level with which he is accustomed and with which we are used to seeing, he could easily, in the clean air now, without Roger Federer, without Rafael Nadal, rack up a few more. Will there be challenges? Absolutely. Carlos Alcaraz is just one of those. And had Carlos not become crippled with cramps during the semifinals going back to Friday, they've had some extreme heat there in Paris, well, in lots of parts of Europe. But had Carlos not been unable to compete because of the cramps, maybe this is a different outcome. Now, who cares about the maybes? The tournament belonged to Novak, but there will be challengers. The difference is, though, they don't have the experience. They don't have the wisdom. They don't have what Novak has, which is a memory catalog and muscle memory of every surface, every tournament. He's the only man ever to win at least three times at all four Grand Slams. Roger Federer didn't do that. Rafael Nadal didn't do that. And yes, Novak has 10 Australian Opens, but he has at least three titles at every other major. He's got an all-court game. There will be challengers, but not Rafa, not Roger. He's the only man still standing from the big three.
Hazard reported ahead.
Roger's busy with the Waze app now.
Hello, it's Roger here.
Rafa congratulated him on social media. Do you know who else reached? Well, there was communication. We'll get to that coming up. But a cool connection this weekend between Novak Djokovic and another Serbian athlete who's on the verge of history. And Tom Brady was there at the French Open final in Paris. The man gets around. It's like Peyton Manning. After Peyton retired, and even now, Peyton pops up at every single big sporting event in the Denver vicinity, as well as every big sporting event that has to do with the Tennessee Volunteers. I mean, the man, he's everywhere.
Hey, guys, check it out. Just made my first TikTok.
It's probably on TikTok. I don't know if Brady has TikTok, but I saw video of him in the stands in Paris on Sunday taking photos and doing videos himself. The GOAT has become a fan of other GOATs. So congratulations to Novak. 23 Grand Slam singles titles, most among the men. He told us he was extra motivated to start the year, not only because he was unable to compete in every major last year, but because there was this goal that he's made public of bypassing Rafa, of bypassing Roger, of being the man who is standing alone atop the mountain.
One of the biggest ones, of course. I knew that going into the tournament, and I mean going into the match, especially today, that there's history on the line, but I try to, you know, focus my attention and my thoughts into preparing for this match in the best way possible to win like any other match. Of course, I would lie if I say that I didn't think about, you know, the finish line that is right there, and then one more match is needed to win a trophy, a historic one, of course. But my team has created a good bubble around me, so we've you know, I think, a great job into just staying in the present moment and performing as good as we wanted to. And of course, when I saw his forehand going wide, I felt a huge relief, and I was overwhelmed with wonderful emotions. And I'm very, very happy and very proud of it.
When you think about the number of different 20-year-olds, right, who will face him along the way, and it will be their Super Bowl of sorts. It'll be their Grand Slam championship opportunity, even if it's not actually in the finals of a Grand Slam. Every younger player, a lot of them who grew up idolizing Roger, Rafa, and Novak, they're going to watch Novak, and they're going to see as he continues his assault on history, and they're going to want to be a piece of that. Not just a footnote, not just the answer to a trivia question, but someone who maybe takes a piece out of it or stops his momentum. Casper Ruud was trying to be that man on Sunday. It didn't happen. He goes out in straight sets. And again, the wisdom, the experience, the dominance, the fitness of Novak Djokovic is so evident.
Either he plays ridiculous defense or he plays beautiful winners. Just doesn't do any mistakes. He lets either you go for too much or he plays a beautiful winner. I mean, first point of the tiebreak, we play a good rally. I kind of have him on the run on the forehand cross, and then he just rips a beautiful forehand down the line this close to the baseline. So it's sort of like too good. And then the two next points are also long rallies where can't exactly remember, but then in the end, I think I miss one forehand that I go for the winner and so on. So it's, he just locks in and makes just you have to play either ridiculously well to win the points, or he steps up with the winner himself. So he knows how and when to step up. He's smart. He's played so many matches where he knows where he kind of has to raise his level. So it's just annoying for me, but very, very impressive.
I'm just glad it's over, because you have to, you know, deal with kind of those pressures and expectations on a daily basis, and kind of live with yourself in your mind and trying to handle all the nerves. So of course I feel incredibly proud for Field. I'm so blessed to be able to share it with my family, my kids, my wife, my parents, everyone who has been supporting me in this journey. Of course, journey is still not over. I feel, you know, if I'm winning slams, why even think about, you know, ending the career that that already has been going on for 20 years. I still feel motivated. I still feel inspired to play the best tennis on these tournaments the most, you know, Grand Slams. You know, those are the ones that count, I guess, the most in the history of our sport. So I look forward already to Wimbledon.
That is the next one. And remember, 21, he was closing in on the calendar year Grand Slam. Such a big deal for Tiger Woods when he did it. Novak will have another opportunity. If he wins at Wimbledon, it will set up the U.S. Open with a little extra history. So, yeah, he's the guy now who everyone takes aim at. There's no more Roger, Rafa. And that's a blessing. It's a curse. He's running in clean air by himself. And the two of the greatest ever are not there to challenge him, or not there to kind of to clog the way or to take up residence in that center ring of the circus, so to speak. He doesn't have to share the spotlight necessarily, but all of the other challengers, most of them are younger, will have the youthfulness, the energy, and they'll have nothing to lose. All the pressure is firmly on the shoulders of Novak now. There's no one to share this pressure. Now, has he stared it down over and over again? Absolutely. Again, that's one of the great advantages that he has over anybody else in the field. But he also is open about it. You hear him say, it's such a relief to put this behind me. Now he's got the lead. Neither Roger nor Rafa is likely to get another one. Well, Roger's retired. Rafa, we're not sure yet, but it's unlikely that he, at least this, well, he's out the rest of this year. It's unlikely that he'll be able to challenge again at the Grand Slam level. So how many more can Novak add? Can he stay healthy? He's only 36. He's in great shape. But the spotlight's on him. And he does talk about sometimes how the pressure feels suffocating. You didn't hear that often from Roger Federer. He generally tended to take everything in stride. Novak's a little more wound up. He's wound a little more tightly. But it's a little bit like that old argument about Tiger versus the field. Would you take Tiger with everything you know about him? Would you take the field? Yeah, there are far more challengers, and the odds would always favor the field. But Novak is, he's the best, and he's got less competition now that can even take up space in the conversation, right, about the greatest of all time. I'm glad he's still playing, but gosh, I miss Rafa and Roger. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, glad to have you with us. Good morning to you on this Monday. If you missed our conversation with Luke Braun, he joined us from Los Angeles. It's the offseason, but he does cover the Vikings. He's got the Locked On Vikings podcast. We asked him why Dalvin Cook was released and what's the likely destination for him, if not Miami. So he wants to go to Miami, but what if it's not Miami? And then Saquon Barkley on the heels of that, answering questions about his tenure with the Giants. So we'll try to get to that a little bit later this hour. We know the Nuggets are on the cusp Monday night of their first ever NBA title in franchise history. We'll take the temperature in the room, or the locker rooms, if you will, before Monday's Game 5 in the Mile High City. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
Your points are worth more than you think. This first-class flight to Tokyo, you can book it in your credit card portal for 1.4 million points. Yowzers. With PointMe, you could redeem just 120,000 points for that same flight. Now that's more like it. PointMe gets you 6 to 12 times the value for your points. Your credit card points are worth more than you think. PointMe. Better flights, fewer points.
Get started today at point.me. That's point.me.
Side to Casey for the game winner. Yes! The Denver Nuggets lead the Miami Heat by 14 points. And Scotty, for the first time this playoff series, I'm going to tell you that this thing is over!
We know we're playing against a great team. Obviously, they've been dialed the whole year, and they made it this far for a reason. So we just got to be focused, bring energy, and still know our personnel extremely well, and just be focused on winning the game.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Bruce Brown, 21 points in what was the third victory of the NBA Finals with the Denver Nuggets going back to Friday night. It was weird. It was weird to go Wednesday, Friday in the NBA Finals and then not have a game on Saturday or Sunday. But whatevs, NBA. So Game 5 takes place at Ball Arena in Denver coming up tonight. The Nuggets just need one more dub to hoist the Larry O'Brien Trophy. First one in their franchise history. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. But as you hear Bruce Brown say, this is a team that's been doubted all year. They're used to. In fact, they're comfortable in those situations where they are doubted. The Heat tried to force a comeback on their own court in game number 4. Remember, they scored, I think it was 8 straight points to start the fourth. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me, Denver? Have you learned nothing? But ultimately, they played to a draw in the fourth quarter, 22-22. And Novak Djokovic had foul trouble. So for the other Nuggets like Brown and Aaron Gordon, who had a fantastic game, Kontavious Caldwell-Pope, I mean, it's important that those other guys step up. And we've seen that over the course of this Denver run. The Nuggets have only lost one playoff game at home, but it was to the Heat, and it came earlier in this series. So no one counting their Nuggets before they get the box from the drive-thru or something.
This team is different than the other teams we faced. I think they're relentless. Like, they're going to come in full force. We ended up actually blowing Phoenix out in Phoenix, you know what I mean? But we know tomorrow's not going to be like that. But one thing about this team is we just have a game-by-game mentality. So we're viewing it as we're down 3-1. We're not up 3-1 right now. We got to win tomorrow. Like, that's our mindset, and that's pretty much how we've done all playoffs.
We rely on our team. You know, we rely on our brothers. We understand what the task is at hand and what we're trying to accomplish and the opportunity that we have in front of us. And to accomplish that, you need a level of focus. So while the rest of the city is frenetic and ecstatic and buzzing, we got to stay calm and we got to stay level-headed.
Michael Porter Jr. And Aaron Gordon, different styles, but as Gordon says, the city will be buzzing. But the message is the same, and it's clearly coming from Mike Malone. We're not up 3-1. We're down 3-1. I don't know. Can you really tell yourself that? I don't think you need mind games or Jedi mind tricks to understand there needs to be a sense of urgency. All you have to do is think about what happened to the Heat in their last series, the Eastern Conference Finals, when they were up 3-0 on the Celtics, and then the pressure mounted and mounted to the point where they had to go into Boston. Everybody's buzzing around them because they cough up a 3-0 lead. They have to go into Boston to win a game 7. So the idea that you would have to generate some type of mind game where you tell your team you're actually down 1-3. They should be playing with tenacity. They should be playing with everything they got. They should be playing as though it's the last game of the season, because it could be. Not because their backs are against the wall, because their franchise is championship-less. No championships in nearly a half a century as a franchise. The Nuggets, with their awful uniforms for years and years, were the joke, or one of the jokes, one of the punchlines of the NBA. There should be no more motivation than that. I kind of feel like Mike Malone should be above mind tricks, but you hear Aaron Gordon say, we're not up, we're down, blah, 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 whatever. No, the reality is you're up and you're one win away.
My biggest concern going into any closeout game is human nature and fighting against that. You know, you're up 3-1. And, you know, most teams, when you're up 3-1, they come up for air, they relax, and they just kind of take it for granted that, oh, we're going to win this.
Maybe that's true, but I would say this is unique, because this team, they've come close before. First NBA Finals, they recognize that if they don't win in game 5, well, first of all, the motivation should be to win on your home court in front of your fans. That's pretty amazing. But if they don't win, they have to go back to Miami. You don't want to give the Heat any type of room to breathe. And Jimmy Butler, that tenacious leadership of his, that's the kind of tenacity that the Nuggets need. They've been lacking at times, but that's what they need. That's the attitude and the focus they need. And you're dangerous. You're vulnerable if you allow the Heat any type of opening. You got to slam the door in their faces, even if it means their noses are right there in the door. You got to have that killer instinct. The Heat have it. The Nuggets need to borrow it.
I know what it feels like to be in that situation. And we've had guys be down 3-1 in our locker room and them share their experiences and their stories. So for us, man, it's the first of four. And that's the mentality.
By the time we got on the flight, everybody was great. We get to compete in this kind of game, you know, tomorrow night. Everybody's looking forward to that. If you're a real competitor, that you want this. you want the feeling that you have, you know, today, tomorrow, leading up to the game, how you feel, you know, in your heart and your stomach when that ball gets tipped up. We've had setbacks. That's part of the playoffs. Tough losses. Our group has shown a resilience to bounce back and show that defiance time and time again.
Seen the video from the shoot arounds. Both teams look loose. Why not? The Heat are comfortable in this situation with all the pressure, while the Nuggets are, whether or not they want to admit it, they're in a comfortable position. But it won't be comfortable if they lose on Monday night. So yes, that game taking place tonight in Denver, we could be celebrating with the Nuggets' first championship in franchise history. And then on the heels of Game 5 in hoops, it's Game 5 in hockey. The Golden Knights, not been around for 50 years, but they're on the cusp with a 3-1 lead over the Panthers. They're on the cusp of winning their first Stanley Cup in their franchise history. It's kind of interesting, too, the parallels between the Heat and the Panthers all along. We've talked about many of them. Both the 8 seeds, both needing help to get into the playoffs, both having to fight, scratch, and claw, both being looked at being counted out, I would say, in many cases, because they were facing top seeds in the Bruins and in the Bucks. And now both here having to go on the road just to extend their series. But man, it's been quite a wild ride for South Florida sports fans. Messi to Miami, the Marlins. What did Jose Pineda say to us last week? Don't forget the Marlins. Well, I did forget the Marlins, but my apologies for that. Do they need at least one parade for this to be memorable? They need one parade, right?
You need one.
One. Could it also be that their paths are so parallel that they flame out in game number 5? I feel like they're both tired mentally and physically. I mean, that's part of the deal. You have to survive in advance. You have to get through it. You have to fight through the fatigue. They've been playing a lot of games. Game 7s, tough situations. I mean, it can wear on you.
2-8 seeds also. So every game they're playing is they got to raise their level up to their competition. So.
So we'll see. We'll see if they've got enough gas left in the tank. Oh my gosh, with all the sports cliches. That on your Monday.
Hey, can you hear me?
Okay, good. Well, so can your potential customers. Right here on your Odyssey station. You might be used to skipping social ads, but you are still listening to me right now. And so are your clients. To learn how to drive more business and how Odyssey can help get your message to your customers, visit stateofaudio.com. That's stateofaudio.com.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
Good morning.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
McCutchen's hitting .264 this season. 8 homers, 23 ribbies. The pitch. Line drive left field. There it is. 2,000 for Andrew McCutchen and a standing ovation. Cutch 2K at PNC Park. And everybody up, including Mets fans. And a tap of the back from Mark Vientos. And now McCutchen doffs his helmet. Raises it to the crowd here. Both benches, Pirates and Mets players applauding. Extra time for Reynolds to get in the box. What a moment here at PNC Park. Andrew McCutchen, an amazing milestone, and the fans don't want to sit down.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On Pirates Radio, how cool that McCutchen in his second tour of duty with the Pirates. The first place Pirates, by the way, who get the victory over the Mets. It's not hard to do these days, but still, they did not play down to the level of their competition. He is able to log hit number 2,000 at home in a win for the first place Mets on a day when the fans were thrilled to not only remember his history and his first tour and when he was younger, gosh, 22 years old when he had his first hit in the majors, and now here he is nearly a decade later. Is he 31 now? I'll go back and look. But just the idea that he has really gone full circle and he's been through just about everything that you possibly can in a baseball uniform, but to have it come in Pittsburgh while he's back with the Pirates, who are now in first place, this former MVP. You could tell he was feeling it, not only on the base paths, getting that standing ovation while he's out there after the hit, but also in the Pirates clubhouse after the game.
Not often you get to be part of history. 2000.
Dub is cooler. I mean, look, I ain't even cap. I thought I was gonna get 2K like 5 years ago. 5 years ago, like, I'm gonna have 2K by the time I turn 30, for real. It's done a lot harder than it looked, for real. But yeah, man, it's been cool. Appreciate it. I'm glad y'all could all be a part of it. All that, woo wah, whatever, blase, blase.
Yeah, he's obviously not 31. I don't know why I said that. He is 15 or 14 years in, and he says he thought he was going to get it before he was a decade in. Maybe that's what I was thinking of. But now 36, and he's been in the league for nearly a decade and a half and just didn't realize how hard it was going to be. But congratulations to Andrew McCutchen. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. There was other baseball this weekend. For instance, the Rays continue their march. They take two off the red-hot Texas Rangers. Shane McClanahan with win number 10 already. Why do we have to ask him about the All-Star game and starting? What I just, it's like clockwork, except that's a dumb question. So I'm glad he nipped it in the bud. Mostly, though, it's really cool to see what the Rays are doing and the Rangers, too, clashing over the weekend. But it wasn't the impact that one foul ball had on one radio announcer. Not only is it captured on his own radio broadcast, but there is video. There is actually video. The audio speaks for itself, but if you want to see the video, it's on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS.
Now the 3-2 swung on a pop foul back here.
Ow!
Oh, no.
It really hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far. So once again, it'll be a 3-2. And Holmes ready to deal. A ground ball at the third. Donaldson squares, throws to first in time. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win. You know, that foul ball actually hit me. It kind of glanced off my forehead. So I took one for the team.
Oh, no.
Ow. Ow.
If you have not seen the video, poor man. He's looking up for a foul ball that he believes is high up in the air. As he says, he thought it was popped up. No, the ball is actually traveling from down below him. And on the video, you can see he's looking up. Watch his eyes. He's looking up. And this is courtesy of the Yankees affiliate, or the Yankees flagship, but our New York affiliate, WFAN. He's looking up and the ball tags him from below.
He swung on a pop foul back here.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
It wasn't a pop. It was coming at a pretty slow trajectory. I won't call it line drive because he would have been knocked out, but it is coming at this low trajectory. So you see John Sterling looking up, and the ball comes from below his eye line and hits him. Thankfully, it wasn't square on the forehead. It actually hit his glasses first, which may have absorbed some of the impact, and then smacks it. You know what that is, right? That's a facepalm Friday of sorts. Oh, and so he continues going after giving us the ow, ow, ow.
It really hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far.
He goes right back into his call and finishes up. This is in the ninth inning off the bat of Justin Turner. I wonder if Turner knows. He's got to know by now.
By now,
he's got to know by now. So he finishes up with the game and is able to speak about it post game. It's true professionalism. And John Sterling's in his 80s, and yet this did not sideline him. In fact, he was back on the job Sunday for Red Sox Yankees.
Well, first of all, to all the Yankee fans, I am fine. It hit me in the head, a lot of muscle up there, so I was okay. And I thank you for all the warm, wonderful, loving thoughts. But anyway, I'm fine. And as I told Susan, Susan was the first when I was driving home. It produced phone calls and texts from all the people who love me. So it really turned out to be a very good thing. But once again, thanks, and I'm 100%, no problem.
You know what we didn't hear on the broadcast is Susan. Generally, Susan's exclamations are in the middle of the calls. Oh, you know what had happened? She was downstairs. Right, that's why. That would explain it. So she didn't know about it either. Susan, I forgot, she leaves the box at Yankee Stadium, and she heads down to the clubhouse and the press room to get interviews one-on-one. So she takes a microphone with her. Okay, that makes sense. Because usually she would be like, ah! Like, she would be exclaiming as well. But she was not there to offer her opinion or to take care of him in the moment, which is why she called him after. Okay, now I understand. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
So here's a Justin Turner quick update I just found.
Okay.
So he signed the foul ball that was hit and
gave it
to John Sterling.
He signed it.
Because that's what he wants.
As in, your head is harder than how I hit the ball off the bat. Oh, my goodness.
So it's signed to John. No matter where you sit at a ball game, you're never safe! ! From Justin Turner.
Fantastic. So that was in the Bronx. Sunday Night Baseball. Red Sox actually win that game, but all eyes on John Sterling to be sure he doesn't have a delayed reaction and keel over in the booth.
Ow!
We're going to keep that. It's totally Hall of Fame material. While we're on New York, the Giants, of course, they've got their running back Saquon Barkley tagged. He has not signed the tag. What about the contract, right? He wants one, doesn't want to play on the tag. Oh, Saquon.
What do I think needs to happen to get the deal done? At the end of the day, I would like to address that. I feel like there's been some things out there that's been misleading. You know, obviously the sources or the stories that have been out there. But I've been public. I came out public. I've been open about it. I said I want to be a Giant for life. This is where I want to be. And at the end of the day, it's all about, you know, something that respectable. It's all about respect. And that's really what it is.
It is all about respect, which equals money very often for professional athletes. And there are other walks of life where money equals respect as well. But so far, hasn't signed the franchise tender. Now, he's not available. The Giants have his rights because of the franchise tag. But there are some pretty high-profile running backs that are available. If you missed our conversation with Luke Braun from the Locked On Vikings podcast, it's insider who always offers really great intel. Why did it come to this with Dalvin Cook? And if the Vikings are serious about beefing up that rushing attack in the second year under Kevin O'Connell, is that Alexander Mattison? What does that look like? How do they do it? So definitely check out that part of the podcast. All of our guests are podcasted separately. So After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook, on Twitter, After Hours CBS. The link to our podcast will be up within mere moments of the show being over. Tonight, big deal, could be crowning a champion in the NBA. Can the Denver Nuggets close it out at home? We'll be there. We'll be here, too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.